When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You must have run out of fat girls beavers. You know, did you ever see that clip of him talking about Elvis?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Mysteries. I have a couple of things to bring up here before we start this episode.
Right.
Number one,
where are you parked?
I'm parked right now. Hold on, I got round there today. Chloe was driving.
You're parked in ABS.
What's that?
Absolutely daddy space.
ADS. Yeah, I was going to say, you said it. ADS. The baddie space. I am baddie, isn't that? That's the way John Mayer says body. Baddie.
Your baddie is one land. So Nashville, like it.
So we're parking your space, yeah. Sorry. But listen.
We? Don't put any blame on Chloe here.
Who's driving?
Oh, you bitch.
but we came in. I deduced that it would be easier for you.
Why are you a 1940s detective? Chloe, I deduced we should park in
I deduced
space.
That it would be easier for you to park in the thing than it would be for us today because there's two cars already in there.
Under these. Makes a statement, me and
we also tried to give you enough space to park, but we knew when we were doing it, it was impossible.
It's either all me or nothing.
Yep.
Alright.
Yep.
Now I have something else to bring up with you here.
Oh, it's from the phone. Must be real.
This is when Mysteries listeners pull you up on something you've said. This is from Tiernan. Shane just saw the latest episode of Mysteries, so this will have been a while ago. Kieran sold you a lie as the truth. Now, this is Dr. Kieran Barter, right?
All right, Tiernan. You wee dick.
Someone forward this to Birmingham University. The Kennedy Center is actually named after Hugh Curley Kennedy, who opened and owned the center. It could be argued that it's incredibly sad that I know that and decided to make you aware, but I can only imagine the speed at which the Goblin King would interrupt you to correct you if he knew that.
Right, let me
you
say
You said
that.
It was
let
named after JFK.
Kennedy Way is named after JFK, and I believe that Kennedy Center is named after Kennedy Way.
But it isn't.
Now, they're saying it's named after... I had an uncle, Hugh Kennedy, but it's not Curley Kennedy.
The diversion here is incredible.
I just didn't want
you're wrong.
I didn't want to get into saying that's named after my erstwhile uncle.
Your
who,
what?
Who, my uncle of some time in my life.
What does erstwhile mean?
Sometime beforehand.
Why do you have to do that?
Erstwhile. You know what I mean? Like I
erstwhile. your German name.
I'll take this off, Tiernan. Do you know what it won't take generally? People pulling us up on anything in Mysteries. Because there's been a few of these. Somebody wrote under the... they're living rent-free, right? Somebody wrote under the JFK one going, there's some misinformation here.
Yeah.
And spurious comment. What did they say? Dan Snow did a brilliant seven-part... I'm sure he did do a brilliant seven-parter on JFK. Do you know why? Because he's funded by Gary Lineker's Tappins. There you go. Do you know what I mean? And then they're going to fucking...
Close.
They're going to fucking say... Isn't it Gary Lineker's company?
The rest is history.
Oh, it's Gary Lineker's company.
It's not Dan Snow.
Goalhanger.
Oh,
so it's a goalhanger.
Someone put Kieran up on this.
Dan Snow isn't.
Dan Snow.
The rest is history is part of Goalhanger.
Yes, but Dan Snow is a completely different podcast.
Suck my dick. Right.
What's wrong with you today, Dr. Bartlett?
I can't wait.
Erstwhile.
It sounds like when you get pulled up on misinformation, you get erstwhile to deal with it.
Do you know what
erstwhile?
It makes more misinformation brew in my head. I'm like, Dan Snow can't be playing for Tottenham, right? No, so like, I'm sure he did do a fucking brilliant seven-parter.
Yeah.
See, do you know what not to expect? The same thing from seven-part Dan Snow podcast. And me and Shane fucking around for an hour going, I mean, I sort of read this. I think he got shot, right? Like, you can't say. You can't expect
he got
same.
He got shot with a bow and arrow.
Unbelievable. Yeah, just people. And that guy, the cartridge one. the cartridge guy.
Yeah.
Kieran, just going to pull you up on the terminology. You are soft wanker. Do you know what? You're not paying rent in there, all right? And you should be. You should pay rent.
It's a co-ownership. They're paying a bit of rent.
A wee bit, yeah.
But yeah, but it's subsidised.
You'll never be a homeowner. Yeah. I just, you know what I don't like about it? Is that, it's a choice. Because a shell casing can also be known as a cartridge. You dick. So, fuck off. You know what I mean? Anyway, I can't wait to see your comment under this one. Because even though you don't like me, apparently, you'll still be watching. Anyway. Now you're going, I'm not even commenting.
We're walking on, Kieran, just sight, it's complete sight.
the light
of Vespavian. Before we get into this episode, listeners might not appreciate in banter and that kind of thing, but what would you say is the premier 10-pin bowling centre in Northern Ireland?
Westway Bowling, but I think or it's
Dundonald,
gone now.
Or Dundonald Ice Bowl's got to be up there.
Dundonald Ice
Bowl. And at the Jet Centre, they have a great one.
You can. Do you know where it used to be good?
And there's a Nando's there.
The Super Bowl used to be good. Do you remember the Super Bowl in town?
Any others?
No, I can't think.
Okay, let's get into this
episode. I like bowling alleys where you can go in and go, no chicken wings.
Right. Yeah.
No chicken wing grease on the fingers here, all over the surfaces everywhere.
We have this episode today, which is all about the Loch Ness Monster. Now, this is mysteries. Let's say before we go into it, probably going to be more myth than story, but there is good stories.
More myth than history.
But Kieran,
Dan hated that.
Kieran, there's great history in the myths.
I like that. Do you know what I like about myths? They're like rumours.
Yeah.
And rumours.
Great
often,
album.
It is a great album. Great documentary about the making of that album as well.
All bucking each other, Fleetwood Mac.
Mate, their dressing room must have stank.
They had a very ancient Egyptian philosophy.
Attitude towards... Yeah. Towards
family bucket. And sex.
Yeah, just yeah. Family and sex. So like rumors.
That was
usually,
a follow up album.
Rumors usually give you like a. They give you a sense of what people are talking about.
Yes,
you know. So you're still getting something there.
So talk to me about. Have you ever been to Loch Ness?
I don't think so. No.
You ever been to the Highlands much?
I've never been that high in Scotland. I think as high as I've been in Scotland.
I took an 80 in the park once. I've never been.
I walked into a cloud of Lynx Africa and got a wee bit of something off it. No, I think as high as I would have been in Scotland.
M&D's?
It's probably like Glasgow and Edinburgh. So I was on the south.
I was on the roller coaster at M&D's once. Okay. So when we talk about Loch Ness to set it up, Loch Ness is a loch in Scotland. I want to say Loch Ness goes from Fort William to Inverness or something like that. It's the paint a picture. It's a mile wide, 24 miles long.
Wow.
Big old loch, mate.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I know. I got.
Why are you drowning on land?
You did. I sounded like George from Rambler. Anyway, whoa, zippy. Anyway, right.
Nestle.
Wasn't there always something weird about Zippy? Like, there's some gimp.
Zippy a bungle.
There's a wee bit of a bit of gimp about him.
Yeah,
gimpy.
Yeah,
in there, like with a zip.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you something about Loch Ness as well.
Massive.
Loch Ness is part of the reason that I think this legend comes from Loch Ness. Very, very, very deep and very cloudy water.
Right.
So really lends itself to what lurks beneath the surface.
Like a pish I do after I've done a few podcasts about holding it in. It's deep and cloudy, like, you know.
Yeah. Now, it's Loch Ness at its deepest is deeper than the sea in between Scotland and Norway, between the North Sea. They're really deep.
The knowledge! The sharp edges of fact.
I had to like go down like I was, what do you call it, submerging myself in my own brain there.
Oh, it's deep!
So Loch Ness is particularly deep. Right?
Right. I've never noticed that. I've literally never noticed that there's like a slice through Scotland.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never noticed that.
So yeah, goes from below Fort William right up to Inverness.
That's wild.
One thing you'll know about Inverness is we love the name of the football team, Inverness Caledonian Thistle.
Yeah.
They will play a part in this story, that football club. I like that. So tell me what you know about then the Loch Ness Monster. Like, what does that summons up for you? What do you think when you think about the Loch Ness Monster going into this? What do you know?
Right. I'm just thinking, is Inverness, is an Inver like a Celtic, or Iver, I think, is like a Celtic word for like inlet. Is that right?
Well, that makes sense then. It's the inlet of the Ness,
yeah. Ness. I'm speculating there based on a couple of signs I've seen in the south that are written in Irish. Should have those everywhere, but anyway, I'm only joking. I'm being serious though as well. But yeah. Anyway, whichever you prefer. So
you don't speak it, but
all I know, speak.
Fuck off.
I can count to like four. Anyway, yeah. Right. I can say this. Four, do you know what I can do? I can give you most of the Hail Mary in it.
Please don't.
I won't. But anyway, I was so tempted to start it there, but I won't. But anyway, what I know about this is very little. I know, and I've seen the photo that some people say. I've seen that.
The famous photo, as in with the two
humps and looks like a neck type thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But actually, bring that up now, Dan, and then later we'll come back.
I know that Ted Danson of Cheers fame and Saving Private Ryan fame, that he was in a movie in like 96.
You seen it? This.
I think I saw the movie at the time, yeah.
Do you remember it being particularly awful or anything?
I don't remember it being real.
Oh, no.
Jolie Richardson. Unreal.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at his mop. Like, that's... I remember this basically being like a shit Free Willy.
Right.
He
went to find the beast. He found love.
So, I've seen that. I know there's a great shot in the movie where he's like looking out of a window and then goes, and that's when he sees it. I like that. And other than that, just the general legend of there's a big fucking underwater dinosaur lives in the loch.
Maybe not just underwater, which we'll talk about.
Massive.
Can you tell me about
it? Looks gorgeous.
Look at that, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Highlands are, do you know what? When I think of the Highlands, what I think of? Not the Loch Ness Monster.
Braveheart.
So, friend of tea with me, Foy Vance, lives, enemy of yours, after you slagged him. He's going to smack you.
I would love him. Foy, if you're watching, please come on, no blasters. We'll crush the beef. I'll play one of your songs for you on the guitar.
Oh, he would hate that.
Give you a few ideas.
I have an idea.
I would love it if you came on for real.
So he, I'd love if you came on for real. Lives, I think, near the somewhere around the Highlands.
Right.
And has done like quite a few of his songs, like acoustic versions of them.
Right.
From the Highlands. Like a YouTube series of videos he's done, and they're beautiful. Just like at the side of a road. Beautiful. Makes me want to go to the Highlands. I haven't really been to the Highlands much. I've driven through it to shoot a video for the Northern Ireland Football Association once with Liam Boyce. That's about it. So, and it was snowing.
My knowledge of the Highlands are confined to two things, which is... the scene in Braveheart where he's like running over mountains quite needlessly as well,
mm-hmm.
With bagpipe music playing and some guy going like, you know, he's 8 feet tall, and
yes.
He sounds more Irish than Scottish. And then the Highland Toffee.
Right. Oh, aye, that was popular for a while. We thin plastic wrapper, white,
and then tartan at the ends, stuck to the toffee. Absolutely rip the teeth out of your head. Worth it.
Oh, why? Toffee's not really popular anymore, not really.
Thornton's is gone. Do you remember Special Toffee from Thornton's? That was a fucking great time.
Do you know if toffee's died out, do you know what's coming next? Fudge.
Oh.
But fudge is at its day. Like,
there's so many what I would describe as artisanal fudge places. Have you ever been there? There's two of them within a fudge throw of each other.
Where?
In Edinburgh.
The Fudge House.
There's Fudge House and Fudge Kitchen.
You look like a man who'd always have a toffee hammer on.
Yeah, it's like you test my reflexes to see how quickly I can get to the toffee.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Right, let's stay on.
On the dinosaur in the lake.
On the dinosaur in the lake, right. So this whole...
I've just seen the name of one of these photos. I'm shitting myself.
The first sight.
Top one.
Oh, yeah. The first, a necromancer.
Yeah, creepy guy. I don't even know what the fuck, what his name's doing connected with.
He also gets absolutely mugged. Anyway, let's go from the
He's
start.
Also connected to the following episode.
Okay, great. We love that. Depending on what order the episodes come out on, you're just giving Dan a heart attack. So, the first sighting of this creature or this idea that there is this monster that lives in Loch Ness comes in the middle of the 5th century?
6th.
6th century, St. Columba.
Right? Irish guy.
Yeah. Now, what I like about him is all these saints of his kind of ilk, right, like St. Columbanus and stuff, they go on these pilgrimages, they go on these...
Play a wee bit over in Scotland, then come back.
Yeah, but they do this thing where, like, they're in exile. St. Patrick as well.
Right.
They love an exile. You know, it gives them their sort of backstory.
It's part of their, like, authenticity.
Yes.
Oh, I'll try to teach them stuff, they'll fuck me out, and then they'll want me back.
St. Columba? Just goes from Ireland over to Scotland. Bit of a quick one on the Stena line, like. There and back, rail and sail.
Sea Cat.
Yeah. It would have been Sea Cat back then. So he goes over to Scotland, and basically... One side of Loch Ness is kind of, you can traverse it kind of like even back then there would have been like a way to navigate that path, but the other side,
you just walk like through, like it's like shallow.
No, I mean like a path on one side of
oh,
it.
Oh, right.
The
okay.
land on one side of it, the terrain you can
right,
pass
okay.
through it.
It's like gently rolling hills down to, I think it's the west side is more easy accessible.
Right.
Right, okay.
The other side, nightmare.
Right, okay.
Basically, like, you can't pass it. Rugged cliffs, dense kind of forest that you can't go down. So what happens is St. Columba, who, by the way, I'm not going into this guy too much, but ruffles a few feathers. When he's over there, he's like, he's ruffling feathers, this guy.
Walking around a Celtic shirt.
Yeah. He gets into arguments and... Anyway, he's actually an interesting character, but we'll go quickly through his story. One time when he's there...
Gets into arguments, is funny.
He does.
That's all CV.
He's a bitch, right? He's a bitch. Anyway, he's on the bank of Loch Ness.
He's a bitch.
He's a H-A-B, historical annoying bitch. He's on the banks of Loch Ness, and there's men pulling a guy from the water. They're burying a man.
Oh, right.
They're burying a guy. And St. Columba says, what's going on here? What's crack with us? Now, they don't get that phrase, what's crack? So they go, the what? What do you mean? And he goes, oh, sorry, it's a local phrase. He goes, what's the situation here? They say, we're burying this guy. He said, what happened to him? They say, he has been eaten by like a savage monster from the loch. So St. Columba goes, You've got my interest.
Sounds like he stumbled across a gangland hit.
Yeah.
And was very gullible.
Yeah.
HGB, historical gullible bastard.
Hat. H-A-T. historical aquatic hit. Can I tell you something? The joy of having kids. I had half an hour sleep last night.
Oh my God.
Half an hour. And that half an hour I was watching Peppa Pig.
That's grim. Like,
also, ha, not hat.
Yeah, ha.
Yep. All right. Fuck you guys.
So
Daddy needs to sleep. He's got to do an episode of Loch Ness tomorrow.
So Colin Ballas, they
get
have
a real job, Daddy, sorry, so I Columba. Can respect you when I grow up.
So St. Columba, they have his interest.
They have his interest. Right. Now, St. Columba, like, I think saints back then, well, obviously it wasn't a saint then, but
yeah.
These guys, they like to be involved in stories.
Mm.
Anything happening, they're in the middle of it. So he goes, listen, we're getting on a boat right now and we're going out to find this monster. He says to this wee guy, he goes, bring up boat, swim out, bring up boat over and we'll go and find it. The guy's like, no worries.
That's massive.
Guy gets absolutely mugged as he's swimming out to the boat. Get him. Get him. Eat him up.
The monster eats the guy swimming out to the boat.
He goes, ah, it's eating me and all. Gets pulled down below the surface. Right?
That's massive.
Yep.
Did your Marda ever tell you that weeds would pull you underwater?
No.
Don't
you said it would be a gateway to harder drugs.
our ones used to. My ma, a couple of things my ma made me scared off that I thought were going to be a bigger deal in my life would have been like weeds in water and reeds.
Oh, reeds are more dangerous than weeds.
You know, because they pull. She would go, they pull you down. Instead of saying some people get tangled in those and die, she was physically like, they pull you down. So I was like, they must be alive then.
I was sort of quicksand until I was about 17.
And quicksand was another one that I was like, sure. And I've only stepped on something. I'm not saying it was quicksand, but there's a video of me. doing star steps for a joke on a beach down south. But whenever we walked further out, the ground literally did start to really give in a way where the two of us looked at each other and went, fuck us. And walk back in, like, because it was actually weird.
Yeah, that's not that.
It wasn't quite
That's not life-threatening when you're both able to go, shall we walk away from this?
No, but I feel like if we'd taken another couple of steps out, it would have been. I'm being serious. Wasn't that
so? Oh, man.
Look at Cody's wee face.
Did it put things into perspective? Sitting there, you sit looking out a window at a river. For sitting 10 hours after.
Sitting there going, hello, is this estate planning? I better get my will underway.
I thought you meant like the people of the nearby area, like the council. Estate plan? Are you planning? You know what I mean? So you're like,
no, like you make beach. Plans for what happens with your estate after you die. Yeah.
Leave it to me.
I would leave my clothes to you because I'm sure you'd make good use of them. And I want to leave Kev like my Die Hard DVD and a couple of things. He's not allowed The Rock. Do you know what I would do? I would give every DVD to Kev except for The Rock,
right?
Because he took my copy of The Rock and kept it on me for about 5 years, claimed that he never had it, claimed that he lost it.
Yeah.
And then I went into his house one day and I was fucking sitting there.
What a cunt!
Yeah, isn't he? Unacceptable bastard, Kev.
So, St. Columba, right?
This is mental. This guy swims out and gets eaten.
Yeah. Swims out and gets eaten. So, St. Columba's like becomes like a bit obsessed with the idea that.
There was a thing that you said there that interested me about like saints and stuff at this time, like to get involved in adventures and stories. Do you think that. I'm trying to think of a modern example of this, but do you think that's because they know that's a way that you become a saint? There's a thing called hagiography, which is the writing of lives of saints. And if it's not a good story, you're probably not going up the old pecking order in the commissioning of saints.
That's what I say. As soon as he hears the idea of a monster being in this lock, he's like, get a boat and let's drive to it.
They need some content for their social media to really get their profile up.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, you know...
Like us?
It's like the own Hargreaves training video.
Yeah.
He knows if people see him training, there's a chance he gets a contract.
And he goes to City?
Yeah.
Doesn't play much, but scored one wonder goal.
Yeah.
I
loved him at United.
I would say as well that it's a little bit more myth. The lives of saints, we find with so much of this, all these stories follow like a formula. These characters, whether it's like a military leader or a saint or someone like that, they have to follow this formula of a story. So maybe this was just like put in.
Yeah, because like story, lives of saints are sometimes quite funny. And you go, did he? Aye. So like there's a good one. I think it's St. Lawrence is supposed to have been getting fucking burned. Like they're roasting him alive. Like, and he's
what, like famous comedians of the day.
Ha 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 ha! This is Billy Connolly of Antioch. He's coming in to fucking slag you up.
St. Colin Ballas is here. He's way to fucking South Africa again.
He's meant to have been getting roasted up one side, and is then meant to have done banter with the guys roasting him and been like, turn me over, I'm done on this side. And I'm like, do you want me rare, do you? You know what I mean?
Dan, the end of sort of St. Columba and this, that's just it really, isn't it?
Well, the guy swims out to get the boat, and as he's coming back, gets attacked.
Yes.
And what does St. Columba then do? He strides out into the water and makes a sign of the cross.
Oh!
Yes.
And massive.
People that were witnessing it say it acted like the beast was like pulled down on strings. You know what I mean?
Massive.
They said, you're right, what happened was all the people nearby went, there's the beast, said, St. Columba, show him your cross. And he said, fuck off you!
The sign of the cross. Yeah.
So not really happens here for a long time with this story until we come to the 1500s.
We're going to talk about a thousand years.
Oh, okay.
That's a thousand years with no story there, like.
Might even be after that.
That's a gap, like.
Yeah, this is the first reference of it, and then we're going to jump way forward.
Of a monster in a loch. I'm surprised a monster could live in a loch in Scotland for that long, because at this time they wouldn't have toilets, so they'd just be pissing all the iron brew straight into the fucking...
Yep.
Into the loch, like, you know what I mean?
Imagine iron brew was just, like, the Scottish government behind it, it's just... an ancient Loch Ness monster's piss.
It tastes like pish. I don't like it. Do you like it?
I like it. I can't say it. Do you know who...
I like Orange Tango. They still sell that over there a lot.
My friend
like
Christopher MacArthur Boyd. 4 or 5 cans a day.
Of iron brew?
Guy lives on it. Like,
Jesus.
Patriot.
Funny guy.
Early 18th century.
Early 18th century, General Wade. Right, so...
over 1,000 years, by the way. No, not a peep out of the lock.
Scotland and England have unified. We're going to pick it up with this.
The trouble with Scotland is that it's full of Scots. Who is this man who says this to me? What is it? As if, what is it he says? He goes, who is this man who gives me advice? As if I asked him for it.
Do you know what sometimes you're like? A tennis player who's playing, but at the net there's like a giant wall and he hits it back to himself. You're doing a dialogue and then you go, what does he say? What does he say? And then you do it. Like, I don't think...
Like Gump.
I don't think...
Like Forrest Gump. Two-hand and table tennis to himself.
I don't think you knew you were you there. Like, do you know what I think you are? I think you have two personalities. You're Kieran and our Kieran. And Kieran and our Kieran talk back to each other.
Oh, that's fucking sensational.
What does he say? What does he say? Let me tell you now, Arkin. General Wade. So this guy, I'm going to assume a bit of a cock. I'm basing that on nothing. But we've got like the Jacobites wouldn't have liked them.
Right.
Right? Because what he's doing is, he's basically coming into Scotland. He's the road guy.
Who's this? Sorry?
Military road guy. General Wade.
Right.
He's an MRG. And that's the first one I've done of those right today. He's a military road guy.
Right.
Right? He's the original roadman.
Is he actually making roads? Is that his job?
It's his job.
Yeah, right. He's in the army, but part of
military
this,
engineer,
he gets sent to Scotland, and part of it is he ends up making a road.
Right, okay.
So what he's saying is, no roads here, boys. I'm going to bring some roads in so we can travel across Scotland easier, so we can get from Scotland to England, all that kind of thing.
Still haven't built a fucking McDonald's on that road. Go ahead.
We will. Someday we will. Right?
See, could you imagine if we both owned the McDonald's?
Oh, my God. I would...
McBanter. That's love what that is. That.
I would love that.
Wouldn't it?
It's only 1 million, isn't it? Maybe we need a third person to come in with us.
Yeah.
Who's a millionaire?
Who can you trust, though? Do you know what I mean? Who's got that kind of money that you can trust?
So General Wade is beating about Scotland. Wouldn't have been necessarily liked in Scotland.
Right.
Because what he's doing is, he's just clearing places, mate, getting right. these roads in. And part of what he's doing is, he's looking for a way to go, he's in Newcastle, and he needs to get to somewhere. And what he does is he goes, fuck me, I got to go all the way back to here to go to there. Right?
It sounds like my tour route last year. Somehow started in Newcastle and then doubled yeah. back to Glasgow, then to London, then Liverpool.
So one thing he does is he builds a road along Loch Ness.
But yeah, the east side.
Along the fucking inaccessible side?
Yeah.
Massive.
But do you know what he does for one of these roads? Do you know why Hadrian's Wall is like ruined? Most of it.
Because of this cunt?
There's no stone available.
Because he went... He goes,
took the stone that Hadrian used.
He says, I need a road here, boys. They say, when do you need it for? You know what he said? Yesterday. He goes, get that fucking wall down.
When do you need it for? Yesterday.
He goes, get the Hadrian's Wall down. And they just go, all right, well.
See that type of shit? See people, it's like a kid who fucking chopped down the tree at Hadrian's Wall this year, or fucking end of 23. You're like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know the tree that's in the scene in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? What the fuck are you doing, dude?
What did he chop it down for? Just stop oil or something?
Because he's a wee dick.
Right.
See, Hadrian's Wall is interesting because that was the... Scotland and Ireland were basically two places that the Romans came to and went, keep it, lads.
Right, yeah.
It's too cold. And so they built the wall as a frontier.
We're good with that.
Everything on the other side of this wall, don't want it. Yeah. But there's some interesting shit found around there, like loads of stuff to do with like literacy records in the Roman army and all they found at Hadrian's Wall. Records from another place called Vindolanda.
Na na na.
Me and my mum and my dad and my grand, we're off to Hadrian's Wall. Anyway.
Yous would have and done some grave robbing shit.
Unbelievable.
The Bartlett's on the sea cat. What would you be getting up to over there? You going to M&D's Fun Park? Nah, grave robbing. Alright guys, I think that's us. You're getting out here, we're not there yet. Yeah, we're good, we'll jump. Right. So yes, he builds a road on the untraversable side of Loch Ness. We're going to talk about the first bridge me here, Dan.
Did he see the monster when he was there?
I think building the road just leads to a lot more activity around the lock,
that leads to sightings and shit.
Allows people to really investigate the monster.
Right.
Just means like this, especially that. Well, first of all, this like opens the Highlands up kind of for more travel. These roads, it was like no one was going. It wasn't like you just went there, right? So we jump way ahead to this guy Spicer. In
1930s?
1933.
Yeah. I like his name, though. I like his name, but I also like General Wade's name because it's like, he just generally wades.
Well, that's it. He probably said that. He goes,
doing a wee General Wade in the Highlands.
Could I have been called anything else?
I don't know. Colonel Dander.
Yeah. Colonel Danders. Right, we're going to talk about the first kind of sighting of in modern times of the Loch Ness Monster. Was, what did you say, Dan, 1930?
I think it was 32, but published in 33.
By George Spicer, who was... now, this isn't just... You know a lot of these sightings? It's just it's like a glue head.
Yep.
I saw a UFO, right? This guy was English and was on holiday with his wife, and they were travelling. Now, in 1930s... The reason a lot of the sightings and happen around this time is people have cars.
Right, okay.
So for the first time, people are driving through the Highlands and there's more activity around Loch Ness. So this guy and his wife claim to have seen the Loch Ness Monster, but the interesting thing is, the way he describes it, it's out of the water. It crosses the road in front of them. Right.
That's massive from Spicer.
Yeah.
Could he have had a worse name as well? Who's going to trust the guy called Spicer?
But the interesting thing with him is...
Was he taking a wee bag of spice?
As I say, he's not a randomer. He's not... he's not a drunkard, right? He owns a West End Tailors in London. So he's a respectable guy. Respectable and reputable guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that it crossed in front of him. And Dan, does he mention like flippers and feet?
There's different people who've reported different things. Some people that there were feet, some people that it had flippers.
So he talks about the size of it. He says the one thing that kind of undermines him a bit is, and should have maybe sent alarm bells off, he goes, it's as something like, not quoting him properly here, but he's like, closest I've ever seen to anything like a dragon. And people are pointing out, you haven't seen a dragon, mate.
I know, yeah.
So what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I think he's basically saying in the depictions of
dragons. It's like saying a horse is the closest thing you've seen to a unicorn.
Yeah. I think he's basically saying, this is in the depictions of what dragons look like, this is it. So this starts the whole thing of like the Loch Ness Monster. We're starting to get an idea of the shape of it and that kind of thing.
I have two questions, right?
Yep.
One of them is, if you hadn't seen a zebra before,
yeah,
and somebody said, I saw a white and black striped horse that like looks a wee bit more unicorny,
more donkey than horse,
wouldn't you go, you're mental? Yep. And then like, so there is that sort of element where you go, or if somebody said to try to describe a hippo to you without you having seen one,
yes,
you would also think they were mental. Then so the,
that's
so
very interesting you bring up hippos.
So that makes
back
me
into the story.
That makes me go, maybe there is something. Then I would like to know, did Spicer or anyone that's into this have any sort of link to the Loch Ness area as like,
nope,
touristy type, you know, let's get an industry going?
No,
you
no,
know,
he,
like, because
did you ever see like around Knock, the whole thing here about like the sighting of the Virgin Mary at Knock, and there's like a whole tourist industry around it now?
Oh yeah,
there's an airport there now. There's right. A Christy Moore song about it. That's how you know it's famous.
What am I missing here on Spicer?
No,
I'm
going to
talk about the water bailiff.
Okay.
So there's a water bailiff who operate. So the What's lock that? Then around that time also the roads are opening up, but so's the lock for like, for boats and things right. Like that. So oh yeah, one thing I hope I'm not getting too accounts confused, but Spicer's wife says that when the Loch Ness monster went back into the water, it caused like a big wave. This might be cross-contaminated with someone else's account, but it doesn't matter. Someone who gave an account of it said that when the monster went back into the water, it caused like a wave that would be similar to like a steamer, you know, like a steamboat coming down.
All right, okay.
I think other people just pointed out, it's probably a steamboat coming down. But
when the fish walked out of the ocean, something like that.
What a Sam Sparrow.
Oh, great.
Woo, that was a great song. Great black and gold.
I didn't
sound
anything like it
song.
Before, but yeah, it's brilliant.
So this starts, then there's a guy, there's like a water bailiff guy.
What's that? Like a...
I think he's a bailiff that operates on the water. Right. I think he uses a boat and he travels down.
Right.
You know, different villages and all. I think that's how he operates.
Right,
I'm
okay.
I'm totally wrong. But he is the first person who, he describes it like a plesiosaur. Plesiosaur? He describes seeing the monster.
Is that like a type of dinosaur?
Yeah, with the big long neck.
Mad.
He's like, you know, it has this big long neck like an elephant's trunk.
What do you call them ones that stand and eat the fucking...
Plesiosaur?
Not steak. Bronchosaurus?
Yeah. We'll see what you're talking about.
Brachiosaurus.
They're herbivores. So I think it's a plesiosaur. I'm going to get killed in the comments for this.
Don't let them do that.
The type of
it's a comedy podcast. Go ahead.
The type of dinosaur that they're talking about would be a herbivore. So that starts to go against Columbus' account of
eating
this
men.
Monster eating people and all this kind of stuff.
But here, so I always wonder about herbivores. Sometimes they're bound to. You're bound to try a dude, right? And then realize it's not for you.
Yeah.
And then go back to just eating bush.
Thought in the head of an evolutionary boy there.
I found my way through that banter. HSB.
Love that. Love that. So yeah, we're just talking about a lot of sightings. Sorry, Dan.
No.
Okay.
Like maybe it was St. Columba who had the guy. You know what I mean? He's
on land.
He's under there with a wee fin strapped to his back going, oh, I'm a monster.
So at this point, we start to get some like some press interest, and the first newspaper to really go Loch Ness Monster mad are the Daily Mail.
Right, okay.
The Daily Mail love it, right? They're like, oh, let's run this story. And
tell you what they don't like, immigrants. They were probably trying to
Where's Nessie trying to get there?
Yeah, they're probably trying to get Nessie deported to Rwanda. Yeah.
Nessie's a health tourist. Yeah. Right? Trying to get the big humps fixed. So the Daily Mail really kinda pick up on this and starts to become a real thing. They send this guy. They go, we need a guy for this, right? We need a guy to go and find proof of the Loch Ness Monster.
The guy at the top of this
and
list.
Bring it, and it's only, get ready for this name, Marmaduke Witherell.
Oh no, it's a different guy.
Now the great thing about this guy is Marmaduke Witherell. He is an actor who has played Discoverers before. He played, was it Christopher Columbus? Am I wrong?
Livingston.
Robson Crusoe.
He played Livingston.
And Livingston as well.
One of the guys that went all through like Africa and all.
So he's played. Now, the great thing is, this guy's played Robinson Crusoe, he's played Livingston, right? But he has written, financed and directed and starred in those movies himself. So he's a guy who desperately wants to be
an explorer.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's writing himself in the movies where he is that, and now he thinks he is that.
Oh, I love it. This would be like Harrison Ford becoming an actual whip-cracking explorer.
It's like someone killing Chloe and you getting... No, it's
like that.
But you getting Keanu Reeves to go and...
Why doesn't somebody kill your family?
I just realized the assassins don't kill Keanu Reeves' wife in the movie. It's like you having a dog and someone kills it and then Keanu Reeves gets redemption for it. You know, you wouldn't go straight to Keanu Reeves.
It sounds like you just want to say hurtful things about my family, Shane.
You have a dog. You hate dogs. Right. Forget Chloe. Forget Chloe. You have a dog.
Never.
You have a that's a spirit. I have a dog.
Somebody kills the dog.
Yes. Who would you get in touch with?
Keanu Reeves.
Well, that undermines my point then. Maybe you would.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, but it's like getting a I like the idea that he's become a character of himself.
Exactly. Like, he goes, I'm the guy to do this. And they went, no, we don't want to make a movie about it. We want to find it. He goes, I'm really that guy. It's like Ross Kemp in Extras, thinking he's in the SAS.
Look at what his African name is.
What?
Hantapania, a sort of portmanteau word, meaning he who hits seldom, but when he does, he hits mighty hard. That's a great name.
Yeah.
No?
It's a wee bit like... It's like Daniel Day-Lewis. He doesn't do that many movies.
Yeah.
But when he does, they're belters.
Yeah, or like, you know, I don't always get a Chinese, but when I do, I'm getting two mains.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ciao. So Marmaduke Witherell goes like, listen, I'm the guy to sort this. Now, he gets himself up to Loch Ness, and he is desperate to find it. And
isn't that what Bear Grylls has a kid called Marmaduke, I think?
Well, he...
I think.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
He found, you're not going to believe this, on the more treacherous side of Loch Ness, he finds footprints, big holes with like huge, like 8-inch claw marks in them. That's amazing.
Right.
Right. People can't believe this. They're photographing all that. They send it to the National History Museum.
They casts of it or something?
They bring in some experts to go, listen, verify that this is the Loch Ness Monster for us. You know what the museum say? Here's the thing, though. There's only one print.
Well, that's fucking stupid. What they're not a planet.
What they had done is, that comes a little bit later, but what they had done is, they don't know whether it was him or someone had done this, knowing he was in the nearby area. The region you bring up hippopotamus, coincidentally. It was a hippopotamus foot
print.
And what they that had repeatedly been put into like mud or soil or something.
Right, okay.
So what they think had happened is, like back then when people hunted hippopotamus, like in Africa or whatever, and brought back
hippopotami. Hippopotamuses. Did you ever hear that song?
No.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only hippopotamus.
Someone had got they used at times hippopotamus legs hollowed out as umbrella stands. So someone had brought that over, repeatedly put it into the mall, went, look at this, didn't think to fucking put a second one in more prints. So the if it's a National History Museum, it probably isn't, but the experts that had to verify it were like, looks good, but here's the thing, there's only one, and that's from an umbrella stand.
Yeah.
He's fuming about this because...
makes him look like a dick.
It makes him look like an idiot. And the Daily Mail, who were like, this is the guy, he's going to discover the Loch Ness Monster, because they turn on him. They basically
put... well, it wouldn't be like a Daily Mail, do.
They put a front page of him up the next day, and they're like, Marmaduke Weatherall, wanker and all. You know what I mean? So he, like, he... by the way, he then develops a real grudge against the Daily Mail. Keep that in mind.
Right. I can identify with that.
Let's talk about some more sightings. So you've got like a... and again, these aren't just regular people. These are people that if you looked at their sort of statue, you go, oh, why would they like a veterinary student who's on a motorbike, again, says that they see the Loch Ness Monster on the road.
Right.
Which is weird because that all just stops like around this time. Like anyone who sees it in more recent times never sees it on the road. Yeah. Right? So,
And what's the crack? Like, see that picture there? When's that from?
Well, that, go ahead then.
I think that's 32, 33. So this is around the time that Marmaduke is
right, okay,
there.
Yeah. Now, I'll fast forward slightly then come back. This picture, the Daily Mail gets sent this picture by a surgeon called Robert Wilson, now who was there sort of visiting and looking for the Loch Ness Monster. I think he's a gynecologist. Now, this guy, to set up his background, fought in World War One.
It's just funny. He's a gynecologist.
Military background, decorated soldier, comes from a really good family when he comes back.
Military background around this time. And then he's a gynecologist, so he's just spent his whole life in one trench or another. Like,
at the head of an Abilene soy boy.
Oh, unbelievable.
That's great, Kieran. He comes back, he sets up this practice, he's there, he gets this photograph. Now, when he sends this to the press, this photograph, the first thing they do is they trim that photograph. So they trim around the edges of it. So that's not the actual photograph. It's a bigger photograph that they've cropped. But the thing that, when this came out, they were basically going like, we got this photograph, it's from a surgeon who doesn't want to be named. So that gave so much cachet that, like...
to be fair, it's a fairly convincing photo. What's cropped out, though?
The original photo is, like, super blurred.
Yes,
right. Much bigger, and just, you can barely make out what actually is on it.
So this kind of photograph starts the mania around it.
Right.
Because you're coming out of, after this, like, the Great Depression, World War One. People want to, I think as well, there was a sense that, like, what we have today, like, people think the world's becoming so much smaller that when some, and it's been grim for a long time, and a story
you want,
like
you
this
want something exciting and nice, like, yeah, wholesome.
There could be these beasts that, and as well, there've been, off the coast of South Africa, there've been this species of fish discovered that people thought had been extinct for, like, hundreds of millions of years. But we're from the from dinosaur times,
right? Okay.
So people are like, "This is only the start of it." We're, you know, the world. This is the world's this magical kind of place. So people really wanted to believe in this, and it was going all around the world. Like, people were well into this.
Yeah.
And
it's
also
at the time of other sort of mystical beasts being seen. So like the Yeti and Bigfoot start to appear at this time. So people are like, Africa's sort of being explored, and there's people like Marmaduke want to be those explorers and discover stuff, but there seems like there's less to find.
An interesting thing, if we're using this as like the archetypal picture, this is the famous movie that comes out at the start of the 1930s, I think, is King Kong.
And in
that movie, they go through they go through here. Is it actually Loch Ness that they pass as part of the movie, or it's another body of water, but there's a creature that looks exactly like this, that
is
like
the plesiosaurus type.
Plesiosaur, that's right. So, but then everyone who sees it in like the year after the Loch Ness Monster, in the year after, describes the beast from that movie pretty much identically.
Right.
So that, when we look back on it now, it totally devalues all of it, Because people are like, oh yeah, it was like the thing from the movie. That was what I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so...
That picture's pretty... That's interesting.
Do you want me to break your heart about that picture?
Is it some shit in the water? Is it just like a pipe or something?
It was a kid's submarine. Devastated. With like wooden attachments put onto it. And it was staged and it was fake.
Oh.
And it was a friend of Wilson, the guy who took the picture... that took it. And do you know who set it up with him?
See, if you say Marmaduke, I'm
Marmaduke Weatherall. Oh, he's bastard. Absolutely
mugged
people. No, he did that.
Sticky bastard marmalade. Oh, he did. Oh.
Speaking of marmalade,
I forgot to tell you
what a delicious treat it is.
Marmalade's coming back into this story. 10 out of 10 for me to do that, by the way. 10 out of 10 to do that. And I've forgotten if you had mentioned it. Everything happens for a reason. Butterfly effect, Mandela effect. Anyway, slept for half an hour last night. Anyway, the good thing about that is I was watching the Wiggles for the half an hour, so that was great. That's all those songs going over. Irish stew, oh, Irish stew, stick it in the pot and it's good for you. Now, the thing is, Marmaduke Weatherall set that up thinking, yeah, flash a light of speed, I don't give a fuck.
I can't believe he set up. Can I be serious?
Yeah.
I've seen that photo before.
Yep.
And I've always gone, that's quite something.
That's proof.
I've never known that was fake.
Do you want to know when it was announced that it was fake? Do you know the story behind this?
No.
It was Marmaduke, I think, was it a nephew? And in 1994.
Oh, wow.
So like 60 years afterwards, right, he came out and explained it.
That's very sad. Probably ruined the Ted Danson movie as well.
Well, what he wanted to do was, really make fools out of the Daily Mail. Who had kind of turned on him.
Yeah.
But he just like sent publication sales through the roof. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's like, I'll show you guys. And they're like, oh yeah, keep showing us. Counting that, those dollar bills, you know?
What do you call a wanker owns the Daily Mail? Lord.
I don't know.
Begins with R. It's like, it's not Rutherford. It's something like that though.
There's a
can't remember it.
Rothmere,
you can't. Anyway.
Dan, right? I'll need some names. I know Scott was the guy, but was it... That's a weird sentence. Was Scott backed by the Marmalade heir?
Oh, so it's Peter Scott who is like, is it a son of Scott of the
Antarctic?
So a real explorer. See, they're real explorers.
So this is really.
Do you know how you know you're a real explorer?
So Scott
frozen on the job. Like.
Scott of Antarctic is this famous adventurer. Documented so well. People love him.
Beans still in the can.
His son, who's two when he dies, when Scott of Antarctic died, apparently wrote this thing saying, like, make sure that Peter has a love of the natural world.
Can I just say as well, sorry, I went for a walk last night in the fog and we've both basically got bronchitis now.
I love that you're comparing Scott of Antarctic.
No, I'm saying I could never. I'm saying I could never. I'm saying I could never be.
Go away.
I'm just saying, just in case there's any confusion.
Can of beans.
I could never be an explorer like Scott. Just
well,
in case,
thanks
I,
for
just in case
that
anybody
up.
Was going, why don't you do this, Kieran? I went for a walk in the fog last night and now I have pleurisy. So I can't. I'm going to be in a wee bath chair like a sick Victorian child for the next 2 weeks. Do you know what I mean? I need a drier climate, mummy.
So Dan, is Scott backed by the heir to Dundee Marmalade?
There's some link. I can't remember what it was.
That's it. That's
a big marmalade company.
Dundee Marmalade.
Marmalade v Marmaduke.
Or the marmalade of the time.
Right.
And also the lead singer of Biffy Clyro had a side project called Marmaduke something.
Yeah.
Just Scottish Marmaduke links.
Right.
I see.
And then Lynx Africa in Scotland.
Whoa.
Getting in your lungs. Get you high.
So, yeah. Islands. So, Peter Scott wants to be, obviously, this adventurer like his dad. And he's, like, respected. He's also a conservationist, friendly with the young Attenborough.
I thought you just said he's a cop.
He's mates with Davy Attenborough and all these boys. And he's starting to forge his own name, right? He's got a good reputation. He really gets into the idea of this and he wants to do something like his dad, like be known,
right?
With something to do with nature and science. So he's basically going, I'm going to find the Loch Ness. He gets really into the idea of it. I'm going to find the Loch Ness Monster. Dan, what year roughly is this or when are we talking?
maybe 50s.
Yeah, if Attenborough was kicking about, like,
there's not
as an adult.
Peter Scott, I think, helped create, was it the WWF and stuff like that. So
big wrestling guy,
because he was thinking fighting's good, but like for kids, we need something else.
Yeah,
yeah. He said to the World Wildlife Fund, but his whole reputation kind of gets tainted a lot by this quest. Because
people are going, did you buy into this shit?
Well, he's going, I'm going to find it. And then he gets in touch with, like, the biggest museums in the UK. And he's going, like, give me some funding. Let's find the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need bones. We need a sample. We need something.
But I'm not sure he really believes in it. But he uses it as, like, a project to bring attention to conservationism and bring money into conservationism, right. So he gets more attention towards what he actually really wants to do.
They want to prove if Loch Ness Monster exists, that there's these creatures that we had thought were extinct.
Do you know what, though? You do lose authenticity. It's like a lot of bands about 20 years ago were screaming in their music so that they would become part of like a wave of music like that. And then once they get in there and get a fan base, the next couple of albums are all, hey. And it's just because they didn't really want to be screaming. They just did it to get somewhere. So okay. It's like he's just going after Loch Ness to save other trees.
He gets in touch with Attenborough and he goes, you fancy coming in on this?
I'm mainly talking about Avenged Sevenfold there, sorry, and Trivium.
He gets in touch with Davey Attenborough. He's like, you coming in on this? Attenborough says, listen to this, for like trying to be nice, but like also a bit sly. He goes, you're very courageous.
Say that like Attenborough, though.
You're very courageous. Very courageous.
I was like, it was all right.
That was Richard Harris in Gladiator.
Oh, yeah, it was a wee bit more Harris.
Gone!
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
No, I think you're all good.
But yeah.
Brilliant old man.
The blanket. I didn't even know that movie came out that you were talking about.
Gladiator? Oh, Loch Ness.
Yeah, no, I knew Gladiator.
Loch Ness.
Like what?
Loch Ness?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, do you know, it was biggish. It wasn't as big as something like Free Willy, obviously, but it was in that same kid believes, dad goes and helps and all that. And it was sort of, I remember when it debuted on Sky, I remember it being like it's the premiere this week. I remember people sitting down to watch it.
I mean, even now, people still report sightings of it. And
there's a guy who like just stays the whole time at Loch Ness looking out for the monster and like, keeps a record of what he sees every day.
Oh, seems like that guy has problems.
He also makes like little trinkets and all, which he sells. So that's the whole thing. Is
I worry about
it's
that
an industry.
Stuff.
It's an industry.
Like, I worry about the industry because it makes me think it is shit.
A guy selling trinkets, you go, this is probably bullshit.
A guy going, I'm here all the time and I keep a wee record, but here I'm also flogging S bollocks that I made out of tinfoil. I'm like, right. Like, but it's probably bullshit. Whereas if he was there,
but here's the thing.
Surely I know it's a big ass body of water, but surely you could just fucking they ever sonared it or anything?
Yes.
In the early 2000s, the BBC put a project together where they pretty much tracked BBC. The whole
taxpayers. So,
sorry, thank God you mentioned sonar.
Not taxpayer, but sort of license pair.
It is
license
pair. Same difference.
See, Scott, they were also working with and the the Marmalade Air. They were also working with this Boston lawyer who was well into it, and he was big into sonar, and he took.
Don't you mean sonar? Loch Ness,
monster, the Loch Ness monster.
Oh, this loch's wicked deep. You got to be smart. You want to catch a dinosaur. Unbelievable.
Yeah. That was our Kieran that said that. he uses sonar, and that's what really gets Scott going about all this, because they do find this like big image, this big clump kind of in the middle of Loch Ness, of this what could be like the Loch Ness monster. But anyway,
how big is it meant to be? That differs.
25 feet was what some of the first accounts, I think Spicer said something like 25 feet.
That's big, like.
Isn't it? But here's...
I mean, what's an elephant? An elephant wouldn't be 25 feet, like.
Yeah, not long. But no, like different shit. But like if it's quite slim, it could just hide under the water, Kieran. I mean, it's not going to have 25 foot of its body.
But if it's if it's 25 feet long, what I'm trying to picture, so it's like, what would that be like in terms of stuff that like I can actually picture?
Four of me long ways.
Two Amaroks.
No, it's not two.
Probably.
One and a half. It's a large car.
Anyway, there is a change in, you're saying about still not sure. The Scottish government are sure it doesn't exist. They it seems that the attitude's changing there where they're not
trying to.
It suits
them to say that though.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously.
That's the new Scottish separationists.
But I think they're a bit sick of it. Because what they're doing is
separatists.
They're sort of saying to in education in Scotland now, when they kind of talk about this, they're saying like it's maybe become like Braveheart. It's maybe become like the idea of kilts. They worry that people are kind of laughing at Scotland for it. You know. So what?
What a fucking SNP response! What a humorless response! You'll not be fucking laughing at us.
Yeah,
we are. Your sausages are square, lads. All right.
When you go to. When you go to the actual visitor centre thing for this, see at the end of it, they go, so what really is the Loch Ness one? What's the verdict? The visitor centre official response is like, nah, bullshit. Which is great.
They say it's a sturgeon.
It's a sturgeon, Nicola. Imagine it came up and it just had Nicola Sturgeon's head.
They say it's a sturgeon. How big is a
25 feet?
You don't get sturgeons that size, do you?
Not these days.
Sturgeons are the ones that
they're basically saying it's bullshit. Also,
that's the caviar fish as well. That's where you get. I'm from obviously beluga whales and stuff, but you get caviar out of a sturgeon. Like
experts have tested the DNA of the water in Loch Ness, and they're like, there's nothing special about this. Nothing magic's happening here, boys.
It's a wee bit sad.
So if we talk about the myth and the history, Kieran, do you think, I think you smell a cover up here.
I think it suits, doesn't it? It suits some people to go, it suits their own, do you know what? It totally suits their own visitor centre to be like, nah, it's shit.
Okay, yes, you
know?
Yes, yes.
Oh, sure, it's all, you know, Scottish people, it's all a laugh.
Right.
Until it isn't. Yeah, and that keeps you coming back, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the idea that there's something there. Like, but I mean, it's probably not a big fucking dinosaur, is it?
No.
It's probably people fucking about.
There is a serious journalist who wrote a book about it back in the 70s. Now,
I know.
I'm not sure what the book's about because like, I'm not going to read it. But we've got an image here.
This guy, can I say before you bring it up, the guy who wrote the, which is funny.
Is this the top thing?
No. Oh, we need to cover that
because I need to know who that is.
The guy who wrote the book pricks Scott's interest that much that he's like, let's go and look for this. But the guy who wrote the book will blow you away. Go ahead.
You'd never guess, Kieran.
Big Nicky Witchell.
Nicholas Witchell, the royal. Well, here, do you know what makes me believe it? Because he still covers lizards to this day. The BBC royal correspondent. Prince Charles, or King Charles now, he's the one that he fucking slabbered about. Remember that clip of him sort of leaning in, but they could hear him, and he basically goes, there's that ginger cunt again.
The Duke of Edinburgh, by the way, was well into the idea of Loch Ness, because all these people want...
He's probably related to it. See? Fucking big amphibian. That's what the Duke of Edinburgh Award's all about, going out into the fucking locks and seeing his relatives.
See all these people from like Scott and all these guys, they just wanted to just be adventurers, didn't they? They wanted to be like the people they read about in books and all this kind of thing. But Nicholas Witchell well into it.
This is a great photo of Nicholas Witchell because now he's wee prim and proper, wee dick. But back there, he looks like
he's just walked out Urban Outfitters with a haul.
he sort of looks like somebody that would play drums for our Kev twice and Thirsty Goat never be back. You know what I mean?
And not weirdly not ask for money.
No, it's all about experience for me.
Dan, bring up Aleister Crowley, please. So he was a necromancer. What does that mean, Kieran?
So like a guy horned up by the dead, but also he's like a famous occultist. Like,
right. He basically said that he put up these signs around his property because he lived.
Yeah, he had a property by Loch Ness.
By Loch Ness, and he put up these signs. Saying, I don't know the phrase, but he's like, keep out, beware of. And there was a phrase of like, I think it means monster or something like that. But it really didn't mean anything. It didn't say the Loch Ness monster. but it was some phrase he used.
He's probably wanting people to keep out because he's doing weird shit in his house.
Yeah, but locals...
He's like a famously fucking rare cunt. Like.
Yeah, but locals got that scared by because they didn't know what it meant. What, beware of what? They got that, and word spread, there's this fucking guy, and he can summon spirits and demons and all this kind of thing. People then came to him and went, oh, that when the Loch Ness Monster really hit the news and stuff, they were like, you came up with this, this is you. But he was talking about something different, but he claimed, he was like, yes, that's me, I started this whole thing. So he tried to get some LNP, Loch Ness props, but he was Billy Bullshitter in a weird hat.
Yeah, he is, he's a rare comp, like.
He looks like he's announcing a show at the Belfast Cathedral Quarter Arts Festival there.
He has a wee bit of the comedian doing his first special on the Black Box, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Alistair
Crowley.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking it to the fringe.
Yeah. Yeah, that
hat, we don't know if he has one.
That looks like a fringe poster. The only thing that would make that look more fringe poster if he was doing that.
Yeah.
Alistair Crowley, My Incredible Life with Satan.
It's a show about a disease he has, and it's called Ill-Luminati. How I Recovered from Syphilis.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Pleasance Underbelly at 10:33 a.m.
Yeah, fucking 3rd to 28th, except 11th.
Yeah. Where he's digging up a grave. The box someone where weirdly encounters the whole Bartlett clan.
That's unbelievable for me. Like,
use your grave, Robin. He's robbing people in graves. So the Loch Ness Monster, I'm going to say, is all myth.
But is a good history around the myth.
But there's a great history around those myths.
That's good.
I enjoyed the story. I didn't know a lot.
I didn't know anything. I didn't know any of this, apart from what I said at the start, just movie, dinosaur in a lake.
But Kieran Bartlett thinks...
Maybe.
In those deep, murky waters.
I often think that stuff like this...
I often think.
It can't come out of nowhere. I don't think. I think somebody's seen something.
Somebody. There you have it, folks. Somebody's seen something. Thank you very much for watching or listening to another episode of Mysteries. We will be back to separate... What are we saying now?
Myth from history.
The myth from history. You and me gonna solve another mystery. Oh, we could start the greatest pod
Spotify has ever seen.
Yes, you and me. Oh no, it starts, it goes... You and me, two friends who love our history. Whoa. We could start the greatest pod Spotify has ever seen.
Also available on other apps.
On other you and me, we're two friends who love our history. Whoa. We could start the greatest pod Spotify has ever seen, and other platforms too. You and me, gonna solve another mystery. Oh. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.